Today we're going to be looking at how we as God's people are called upon to pray for justice, and how we as God's people are called to act for justice. So let's jump right into this parable that Jesus told to his disciples all these years ago, so we can find what he's trying to teach us about justice. Now in the beginning of this parable, Luke gives us a little bit of an interpretation as to what this parable means. Luke tells us that this parable is to teach us how to pray and not give up, to pray continually and not to lose heart when things aren't answered the way we expect them to be answered immediately. So Luke gives us this little preview of what this parable means, and then he launches into this discussion that Jesus has, this parable that he tells. And in this parable, we find the story of an unjust judge. A judge that doesn't care about God. A judge that doesn't care about people. Jesus tells us that this judge was not a fearer of God. So how was it that he made these decisions, for the people? Now, many of you probably can remember the days of Judge Wapner. Is that a familiar name to you, Judge Wapner in the People's Court? Well, this judge was kind of like Judge Wapner. People would bring things to him, and he would judge. He would make decisions. But how did he judge? What criteria did he use to decide what was right and what was wrong? Well, he was not a fearer of God. So he did not base his judgments on what God would want. But he also didn't care about people. He didn't care about the individual people, what was best for them. So he didn't base his judgments on the people and what was best for them. I believe that what the judge would base his judgments upon was what was best for him as the judge. He was a selfish judge. He was trying to improve his own life through these judgments. Now, it doesn't mean that he was always making money off of these deals. He wasn't making something that was worth something whenever he made these decisions. But I would say that whenever he made a decision, often it would somehow come back and benefit him. Perhaps when he made these decisions, it was benefiting the Roman Empire, which he was a part of. And that would trickle down and benefit him. Perhaps other people higher up would see that he was making these decisions that were favorable in the eyes of the Roman Empire, and maybe one day they would elevate his job. So I believe that this man was ruling. He was making these decisions as a judge out of selfish ambition. He was doing them out of love for himself. Now, one day this woman comes to this selfish judge, this self-loving judge, the judge that doesn't fear God or care about humans. And she comes to him and she says, "Grant me justice against this person, or with this person who has done me wrong. Grant me justice." Now, justice means to make things right with somebody. When we say that we are justified with God, that means that things are made right between us and with God. So what this woman is seeking is that this judge would make things right between her and this other person who had done her wrong. So she comes to this judge, this selfish judge, and she demands that he grant her justice between herself and this person who had done her wrong. But the judge couldn't benefit from this. It wasn't worth his time. And since he wasn't a God-fearer, since he didn't care about people, he didn't make any decisions. He did not rule in this situation. The judge just kind of blew her off because he did not fear God and he did not care about people. He wasn't worried about doing what was right. He saw that he could not benefit from this. And he said, "It's not worth my time." But this woman, put yourself in the shoes of this judge now. This woman just keeps coming back. She just keeps bothering him. She won't let it go. She keeps coming to him and says, "Grant me justice against this person, with this person. Make things right between us." And she just gets in his hair. And he finally says, "Okay, I will grant you justice with this person who has done you wrong. Let's take care of this." You see, even though he doesn't care what God wants, even though he doesn't care about people, he was willing to do what she asks of him just to get her out of his hair, just so that she would leave him alone. So he is actually getting something out of it. He's getting his sanity back. He's getting his free time back. He's getting some rest at night. because he knows this woman will finally stop bothering him if he does grant her justice. Now contrast this judge with God. Contrast these two people. Contrast God with this unjust judge. Now in our scripture for today, in verses 7 through 8, as Kathy read for us earlier, we read, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them." God is willing to grant justice to his chosen people, to the people that he loves. God is willing to do this not out of selfish ambitions, like this unjust judge that we were just discussing, but God grants justice because God is love. God cares about people. God loves each and every one of us. And God wants what is right. God wants things to be right in all the world. For things to be right between brothers and sisters. Between men and women. Men and men. Women and women. God loves justice. God loves when we are all getting along in harmony. When things are right between us. And God loves it when things are right between us and God. God loves justice on these two different levels. God wants to make things right. And that's the central message of the entire gospel. God, the creator of all things, is seeking to make things right between us, sinful humanity, and him, the perfect creator. God wants to make things right between us and him, and us and our fellow human beings. That is the central message of the gospel. God's redemptive love for us. God is seeking justice. You see, this is a part of the salvation history of the world. There was once a time when there was nothing. There was no world. But God spoke this world as we know it into existence. And God looked at the world and he said, "It is good." But along came us human beings, being the sinful people that we are, and we slubbed it up. We messed up the world. Adam and Eve made the first mistake. They committed the first sin. And every generation after them has continued in that same pattern. We continue to be sinful. Sinful against our fellow humans. Sinful against God. Sinful to God's creation. But God doesn't like this sinfulness. God wants things to be made right. God has this desire to justify things, to make things right between us and himself. So that is why God has intervened throughout history. That is why God made a covenant with Abraham that one day all the world will be blessed through his descendants. That is why God spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament, telling them of the things that would come, showing them how to make the crooked way straight, to make the high places low, leading up to the one person who truly can justify all things. God has prepared the way for Jesus Christ. God broke into this world, this fallen world, to make it just in the person of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ we see the enactment, the initiation of God's kingdom here on earth. God's redemptive powers to bring the world back to a position where he can look at it and say, "It is good." God is seeking justice for all the world. Jesus came to this earth to teach us that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love our enemies, to give to those who are in need, to pray for those who persecute us. And in one of his last actions here on earth, Jesus Christ gave his own life to atone for our sins. Do you see how this is all coming back to justice? How God is trying to restore what once was good, to make things right again through this person, Jesus Christ. Jesus enacted the kingdom of God, and he taught and he lived out justice in an unjust world. Now we as Christians claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. So how now are we to live? Are we to live like this selfish judge that will only do things if it benefits us, ourselves? Are we to not fear God, to not care about people like this judge that Jesus is describing for us? Or are we to be like Jesus Christ, to seek justice, to seek to make things right between God and man, between God and woman, and between human beings? We are given the most important law by Jesus when he quotes the Shema, when he says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. All our soul and all our mind. I should say it right. Jesus teaches us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And the second command is just like this. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. These are the laws that we are to govern our lives by. Put God first, others second, and ourselves last. And we can truly find justice. Now, in our world today, we can find a lot of injustices. We can find a lot of ways in which things are not right. Now, if you look at your bulletin, pull out your bulletins for me and look on the front cover. It's kind of a gloomy picture, isn't it? Often on the front of our bulletins, we have scenes from God's beautiful creation. We have sunshines and rainbows, beautiful streams of water flowing through the hilly areas of this beautiful creation that God has made. And often there is a verse superimposed over top of those pictures that are just beautiful and uplifting. But today's bulletin looks a little different. This is not a beautiful scene. This is part of what is wrong with the world today. There's these people living in this little rundown shack, which seems to have experienced some kind of flooding. Would anybody here want to live in a place like that? As Sonia and I consider looking for new real estate in the next year or so, I don't think this is high on our list. This is not the kind of place that we're looking for. When I look at this picture, I see injustice. Something is not right here. Especially whenever we as Americans, as rich Americans, are living in such a lavish lifestyle. Justice means making things right between God and humans and between other humans. So if that is what justice is, then this is not justice to me. People should not be living in conditions like this while people in America are thinking about, hey, you know what? A new iPod just came out this week. I think I'm going to spend $300 on that because the one that I bought a year ago is now outdated. It's not right for people in America to say, hey, my neighbor just put in a big swimming pool. I have to keep up with them and put in a bigger one myself. There's something unjust about us spending money frivolously or loosely like this while people are living in conditions such as is depicted upon the front of our bulletin. Something just isn't right here. So what are we as Christians called to do? What is it that we are called to do to bring justice to these people on the front of our bulletin? Well, the first thing that we can do is something that Jesus taught us to do in this parable, and that is to pray to God. Pray to God to deliver these people, to grant them justice, because God will hear our prayers. God will listen to what we are saying. Now, there are people in the world today, Christians today, that say, you know what, God doesn't really care about the livelihood of people on the earth, that all God is worried about is the saving of souls. Well, yes, I believe God is very worried about the salvation of our souls. But God has shown time and time again that he cares about how we live here on earth as well. If we didn't believe that God cared about the quality of our lives, then why did we just spend that 5 minutes earlier praying for the people that we know and love? We know that God cares about us. We know that God cares about your friends that have cancer or that have recently died, people that are struggling from sciatica or people that are looking for new jobs. God cares about these things, so why wouldn't God care about things like this? God cares just as much about these people as he does about you and me. God cares about their souls, and God cares about their lives as well. God wants us to pray for them. God wants us to think about these people often. When we pray for things for ourselves, don't neglect the people of the third world nations that aren't living in conditions like we are. The people that are struggling to clothe their families, to feed their families. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is not just the salvation of souls. It is indeed that, but it is more. It is about justice. It's about making things right between God and man. It's about making things right between man and man. Female and female, woman and woman. It's about making the world good once again. To bring it back to the place where God can look at us, to look at this world and say, it is good. The gospel is about enacting the kingdom of God here on earth. Even when most of the world doesn't realize that such a kingdom exists, we are to live as a part of the kingdom of God. Now the next step for justice that I think that we should all be considering is that we are called to do more than just pray for justice. We are called to work for justice. I heard last Sunday in a sermon that we are not to pray for a hole unless we're willing to use a shovel. Because God chooses to work through people like you and people like me. If we look in the Old Testament, we can see time and time again that God has worked with and through His chosen people to bring justice to His chosen people. When we look at the story of Moses, God chose this person, this bumbling person who didn't think he was a good speaker, who was not eloquent. God chose him to be the one who would bring justice to the people of Israel, to deliver them from slavery in Egypt. God chose him. We look at the story of Esther. Again, just a person. But God chose to use Esther as his tool for deliverance to bring justice to the Hebrews that were going to be slaughtered by the king. We look at the story of Nehemiah. Again, just a human being. But God chose to bring justice through Nehemiah in the rebuilding of the walls and the reestablishment of Jerusalem following the exile. God chooses to use people like you and people like me to bring justice to the world. We can pray for justice and we can act for justice. Now on Friday I was driving home, was down here, actually in Waynesboro, and I turned the radio on and I was listening to Chuck Swindoll. You've probably all heard Chuck Swindoll. Now Chuck Swindoll is a well-known preacher. And quite a well-educated man, a well-respected preacher as well. And Chuck Swindoll said that the entire Old Testament, with all its laws and statutes, could be summed up in one verse, which we find in the book of Micah. Micah 6:8. If you still have your bulletins, turn inside on the bottom on the right. I have printed Micah 6:8 for you. And just listen to this verse as I read it. This is what Chuck Swindoll says is the epitome of the Old Testament. Micah 6:8 says, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Chuck Swindoll said that's the central message of the Old Testament. Now I think he's missing some of the salvation story of the Old Testament, but yet this is huge. This is very important for us all to remember. This is what the Old Testament is teaching us. That we are to love justice. That we are to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. This is important for us all. Well, that's great, right? That's a central message. But what does that mean for us today, living in the 21st century? As we near the end of the year 2007, what does it mean for us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? Well, let me give you a couple of examples today. And the first is, let's turn the clock back 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, in Harrisonburg, we had the Virginia Mennonite release sale, the MCC release sale. The MCC release sale raised the auction itself raised about $310,000. Now, I have no idea how much the food brought in as well, but there was a lot of money raised for the MTC release sale. So what does all this money go for? What is it intended to do? Well, let's look at the name, MTC Release Sale. What is it that is meant to be relieved? Well, what MTC is trying to use that money for is the relief of the injustices of this world, to bring about right relationships for people with God and with one another, to make things right again. MTC has programs such as a feed mill in Bangladesh, where they try to teach the local people how to produce their own food, produce their own crops, and to raise grains that they can feed to animals, to raise those for food as well. And then along the way, they are teaching all the time about the ways of Jesus Christ, teaching them that He is the way, the truth, and the life. So they're taking care of several injustices at one time. They're taking care of the injustice between God and humanity, mostly on our part, between humanity and God, whenever they teach them about Jesus Christ and His redemptive powers. But they're also relieving the injustices of hunger and starvation in these countries, in these third world nations. So this is one way in which many of us have been able to participate in the way that we are able to do justice for the ways of the world, for the people who are in need, to make things right with them once again. But I'd like to end today with one story about my family, something from my personal life, in a way that my family has been able to do a little bit of justice in the world that they experience. Excuse me. As many of you know, my family has a dairy farm in Ohio, and if you've ever been a part of a dairy farm, you know that it can be a lot of work. Up every day by 4 a.m., you stay out all day, and you have to milk those cows. Cows want milk every day, twice a day, sometimes three times a day. So there can be a lot of work, right? Well, there's more work than what my family can handle on their own, so they hire an employee or two at a time. And just recently, my little brother hired a man by the name of Valentin. Now, Valentin is a man of Mexican descent. He just recently came to the United States so that he could work and that he might be able to support his family. Now, Valentin is a legal immigrant. He has his paperwork, so that takes care of any worries you might have there. He was able to produce something with a Social Security number on it, and we assume it's legitimate. But he's here working for very little wages and sending a large portion of that back to his family in Mexico. Many of us, if we were making $8 an hour, probably wouldn't think we'd have very much to spare to send back to those who are in need. But Valentin is taking a huge cut in his personal life and sending that money back to his family. He sees that there is an injustice there, that he should not be making all this money while they go hungry. Valentin doesn't have very much that he can call his own. He doesn't have his own home. He doesn't have his own bed. Valentin sleeps wherever he can find a place to sleep. He sleeps on the couch. He sleeps on the floor. I think he often sleeps in a sleeping bag. My mother heard about this. She heard that Valentin was sending a large portion of his money back to Mexico, and that's why he couldn't afford his own bed. Well, my mother recently had to purchase a new bed for herself. She had to purchase something because she had some health issues and has to have a certain kind of lumbar support. I'm not exactly sure why. But she had to get a new mattress. So that means that my family had this extra mattress lying around the house. It was just sitting in the spare bedroom. We had an extra bed in there. We had another extra bed in that room as well. And now we had this mattress. See, my family, they don't throw things away. They're extremely frugal. We don't get rid of things. It doesn't matter how many extra beds we have lying around. We'll save that mattress just in case somebody comes and visits. So they had this mattress standing up in the corner in the spare bedroom where there already was two beds. You gotta love them anyway. So my mother heard that Valentin didn't have a bed, that he was sleeping on the floor. What did she do? She gave him her old mattress. Somebody who had much gave something to someone who had little. My mother, who is considered rich by the standards of the people of Mexico, gave something to somebody that she saw a need in. She saw an injustice, and she took care of that by giving something that she had to Valentine. So in conclusion this morning, I would like to remind you that yes, God does care very much about our souls. God would have it that none of us should perish. I believe that is God's number one goal, that all of creation should be redeemed to Him one day. But God also cares about our lives here on earth. God cares about our well-being and our health. We believe it or else we wouldn't pray to God. God cares about you. God cares about me. God cares about this family right here. A loving God wants to see justice for these people, just as God wants to see justice for you and I. So as followers of Jesus Christ, as Christians living today, we must pray for God's deliverance for these people who have experienced injustice. We must pray that God helps them to achieve justice someday. But again, don't pray for a hole unless you're willing to use a shovel. When we pray for God, be willing to do whatever God is calling us to do to help solve this injustice. Be willing to do what God has called us to do. Just like God has called Moses, Esther, and Nehemiah, God will work through us in whatever way God sees fit to help solve the injustices of this world. And that doesn't mean that we need to sell everything that we own and give it to the poor. That's not what I'm saying today. But think critically next time you go to buy that next iPod. Think critically next time you consider expanding the size of your pool just to compete with your neighbor. Think critically before you keep that mattress for yourself rather than giving it to somebody who doesn't have one. Don't be like that selfish judge that Jesus describes for us. Don't make decisions based on whether or not you will benefit from them personally, but look for the greater good. Look for ways in which you can use what you've been given to help others. Give that spare mattress if you are called to do so. And remember, as Micah says in chapter 6, verse 8, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Will you please join me in a word of prayer? God, you are love, as John tells us. You are a God who loves each and every one of us with a love that we cannot fully understand. You will love us in ways, Lord, that we will only be able to recognize one day whenever we meet you face to face. Lord, help us to love one another with that same kind of love, a love that words cannot describe. Help us to love justice, Lord, in the ways that you do. Help us to love each other. Help us to give as you call us to give. Help us to pray as you call us to pray. May we serve others, Lord, in the ways you are calling us to. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.